The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Eleanor, how are you?
Good morning. Very good, thank you.
We have a question relating to, there was reports during the week that Ireland might be the first country in Europe to completely ban sunbeds. We have a question relating to that asking, just how bad are sunbeds? There was an article in the paper saying that anyone under 35 who uses a sunbed increases their risk of melanoma by 75%. Do I have to stay away?
Oh my God, of course you have to stay away. Anything that would increase your risk of melanoma by, I used to always say 60%, but now obviously there are more people, more years out from sunbeds. Sunbeds are 15 times stronger than the midday sun in the Mediterranean.
Are they?
Yeah. So like, would you really risk all that when you could get a nice fake tan? Do you know? It seems a little bit daft. And you also get other types of skin cancers, maybe not as dangerous as melanoma, but you don't really want to increase your risk of skin cancers. And you also get really saggy and wrinkly, like an old leather handbag.
Although I assume the people who are going to get themselves fake tanned are predominantly of an age group where they believe themselves to last forever and don't worry about going saggy and wrinkly.
Yeah, but I'm also surprised about people who go to sunbeds who are older as well as people who are younger. So they think that people maybe was a thing people did in the 80s and the 90s, and people still do it. But I don't know how there are still sunbeds available to be hired when that's the sort of statistics there are.
We have a great one that says, and I love these ones, why does my jaw always click during the day, but especially during the morning?
I don't know why their jaw clicks during the day. I presume they have a temporomandibular joint issue.
Oh, look at you showing off with your anatomy.
I do think so. And I think maybe they should go to a dentist, and maybe they're grinding their teeth at night and it's a little out in the morning. And maybe a little mouth guard or something.
Did you ever read the story of the man who sought to disprove that cracking your knuckles causes arthritis?
No, but I always say that it doesn't cause arthritis, but you shouldn't click your thumbs.
I always click my thumbs.
Not your thumbs.
Why not
your thumbs are the one that you shouldn't. I have no like paper to quote her.
But my thumbs can self-click if I just bend them back enough.
Yeah,
I don't even have to touch them.
Apparently
I can just...
it's the one joint that can become...
Oh, damn it.
Arthritic. But the rest of your joints is just like tight ligaments. And you can crack all your joints you want, but not your thumbs.
Because this guy apparently, and I think this is dedication to winning an argument, he cracked one hand for his entire life.
Okay.
And then did x-rays 50 years on to show
fine.
That the joints were identical. Okay. So he never cracked the right, always cracked the left.
It's like the guy with Sudocream who burnt himself to prove it worked.
Really?
Yeah. The fellow who invented Sudocream.
Is Sudocream Irish? I think it was originally Irish,
yeah.
Wasn't that the same thing with the Australian fellow who established that ulcers were bacterial?
He infected himself.
With horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeesh. What should you do for an ingrown toenail? I'm following advice to soak the toe in warm salted water, but does it need to be seen by a doctor first before I go to a podiatrist? Is it like the ants, straight to amputation?
Foot and all. So you can soak it, and if it starts getting very red and boggy around it and looking like it's pretty infected, then I would go to a podiatrist, but you might need an antibiotic first if it's really bad, in which case it's GP first, then chiropractist, podiatrist. And sometimes we might cut down out. And some GPs will remove toenails.
In their entirety?
In their entirety. There are some GPs who have specialist training. They remove toenails. I don't.
Does it come back if you remove it?
Sometimes they do. Quite often they don't.
You would have a toe with no nail.
Yeah, but if you have a really bad ingrowing toenail, you might be as happy if it keeps happening over and over again. And some... you know, some people don't have their toes on show all the time, and it doesn't bother them, and they rather it than a kind of a chronic pain and infection.
A text asking, any tips for a stubborn sty on the eyelid? Antibiotic cream has not worked. They're very annoying.
And sometimes they can be kind of blocked, oily glands, and you can use a warm cloth, and you can also get these wipes called Blefaclean, and they are over the counter. And you just do them every day, but a warm face cloth to try and draw it out, because sometimes it's hardened oil as opposed to an infection. So the infection's probably gone and you're left with the lump, and the lump can take a while to go.
A text asking, what is the best type of magnesium to take? Why would you be taking magnesium at all?
I know, you see, that's the question. So most people have plenty of magnesium from a normal diet. So there's not really much reason to supplement magnesium unless you're magnesium deficient, in which case you might celiac sometimes are magnesium deficient. People with disorders that give them chronic diarrhea. But most people, your kidneys decide how much magnesium you get plenty in your diet. It's some kind of green leafy vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, fish, all have magnesium in it. So most people don't need to supplement magnesium. There's not huge evidence how good it is, but loads of people seem to be swearing at the moment by magnesium for sleep. And that's,
for sleep?
Yeah. Menopausal women like a bit of magnesium. And if it works for them, I have no problem because it's not going to really do them any harm. If you had chronic kidney disease, you shouldn't be taking magnesium. But so they take magnesium glycinate. That's the one that they take for that to help them sleep and muscle cramps. So it's not of any, it's not going to do you any danger if you're not magnesium deficient. I don't know how much benefit it'll do.
Do you see patients often where you look at them and think, that's a placebo effect, but I'm not going to intervene because it's working?
Absolutely. Well, anything that works and that doesn't do you any harm. You don't need to call it placebo, you can call it working if you want to. And you know what I mean? If you're not sleeping, you take magnesium, it works. Maybe it works for you. That's great. I don't think anything wrong with that. Magnesium sulfate, the other type of magnesium, that's Epsom salts. And that certainly is kind of nice to have a lie in Epsom salts. So there's nothing wrong with that either.
Is that what Epsom salts are? The component
they're
in magnesium. There is magnesium.
They're a type of magnesium. Yeah.
Texas say, I am male, 42, in good health, but in recent months, my libido has disappeared. Any thoughts?
Well, maybe he's very stressed or he's very tired. So it could be a kind of a mental part that he's just maybe a little bit burned out. Maybe he's a little bit sick of your one. I don't know, or whoever. The other part of it is maybe he has low testosterone. So some men's testosterone drops off a cliff. A little bit like women have a menopause. Well, it's called menopause. But I mean, men also sometimes, some of them, well, they're, and now you'll find 80-year-olds with fabulous testosterone levels. But some men...
Look at most of the Rolling Stones and their capacity to have children.
Some men, their testosterone will drop and they will feel pretty sluggish. Their libido will be through the floor. Things don't work like they should. And they might get a little bit paunchy around the middle and a little depressed. And they're worth taking time to check their testosterone levels. If their testosterone levels aren't right, improving them with medication and also with lifestyle.
Do you find patients have a tendency to accept aging when they don't need to? Because in that kind of instance, that's one where what you describe is a lot of people think, well, that's the experience of middle age. Just relax into it.
I think certainly there's an awful lot of things now that can be improved, that you don't have to suffer or tolerate. I don't think 40 is, like 40 is probably what people would have thought of as 30 before. It's like 70 is the new 50, do you know? I also think Botox has turned everything around as well, probably. But there's an awful lot
of things. It's very hard to tell how people feel about it, though.
There's an awful lot of things that you can do to keep yourself in good nick, do you know?
A text saying, on the topic of age and nick, is it worth the time and money to go to the GP and get a full battery of blood tests, even if you aren't experiencing any symptoms or anything? I'm male and 38. I have a theory about this.
Yeah.
I think Americans are wild into this. They love an old checkup and they spend all their time taking their blood pressure. And when I look at their net health and our net health, when we don't tend to do this, I think we do just fine.
I think there is value in a man of 38 who's never had bloods done before having bloods done. And
that's because you're in the bloods done business.
Absolutely. No, the HSE will probably shoot me because the HSE pay for the processing of the test. So we don't want to be putting an unnecessary burden on them. But if you're 38 and you have a family history of something, if you've never had bloods done, are you going to wait till you're 55 and discover your cholesterol turned out to be 9? So things like that. At 38, get a list done of things that are targeted for you and then forget about it for 10 years. You don't need to do it every year unless you have something underlying or unless you're on medication that needs monitoring. But certainly at 38, hemochromatosis, common as anything in Ireland. And now people with cholesterol, we're picking them up in their 20s who have family history, and the thought is that they should be treated in their 20s if they have madly high cholesterol, that you don't wait for people to be in their mid-50s and already maybe some sort of plaque has been set down.
Hemochromatosis, that rings a bell. Is that a bit like, you know, the way we are wildly lactose tolerant, that we and the Spanish can drink milk and effectively very few others can? Isn't the same true of hemochromatosis, that the Irish in particular have a genetic predisposition towards it? Have I that wrong?
Yeah, and I think there's a whole load of theories about it, but my favourite theory is that people who are hemochromatosis had hemochromatosis back in the time when there wasn't much meat, and that they had a better chance of survival because their iron was really well stored. And therefore, that's why there's an awful lot of American Irish who went off in coffin ships and survived in America who have hemochromatosis. And
oh, because they had the iron to survive the journey.
Yeah, well, that's my theory.
It's a good theory.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the Cambodian lucky iron fish?
No.
I love this. Okay. Group of Canadian researchers discovered that in particularly poor areas in, I think it was Cambodia following the regime, that they had massive iron deficiency problems. It was very difficult to get them to people to take supplements. So the fish is a lucky symbol in whatever villages they were. They made fish out of cast iron and said, put it in the pot for luck when you're cooking. And it leaches iron into the food and solved the iron deficiency problems. Isn't that a good one?
That is a very good one.
Because apparently if you cook in cast iron, it, particularly if you're using acidic food and over a long period, you get quite a lot of iron leaching.
I learn something every day in here.
And most of it is wrong.
It doesn't matter. I will quote it wildly.
Thanks to say, Anton, query for the doctor. I am a mid-30s male, fairly overweight, but athletic and very active. But for 25 years or more, I have been very prone to very bad, sudden and extremely painful leg cramps with multiple striking at once and in all muscles in the legs. Mother of divine, that must hurt. Some are more painful than others. I get cramps all over my body, but the legs really hurt. I drink a lot of water each day. I get my steps in. I take magnesium, but still suffer very badly at times, particularly after a night out drinking alcohol. While others get occasional or mild cramps, I am definitely an outlier among a large group of mates. Is there anything that I can do? That must hurt.
Horrible.
Like every muscle in the leg at once. Yay.
It's kind of probably about electrolyte balance in another sense. So maybe it's not magnesium he's lacking. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a shake of salt in his food. Maybe it's a kind of diuretic sachet sort of thing after he does his exercise.
Is that one where a blood test can actually tell you that?
No, I don't think it would, because it's whatever way he processes. But he could be tested to see is he a genuine magnesium low liar. But I do think that'll be trial and error. That'll be, he'll have Pringles with salt in them for a few days, or he will try a diuretic sachet after he has his run, or, you know, those drinks with the electrolytes, and see if that might. But it's probably going to be a trial and error.
But what he's trying and erroring around is diuretic and salts.
Yeah, and that he has the magnesium in already.
Another one saying, I have an unsightly skin tag on my inner thigh. Can I use defreezing product used for verrucas to get rid of it? Or if I cut it off, could it get infected? I don't think self-surgery is ever good at anything, is it?
No.
You wouldn't recommend.
They're on the right track, though. but the difference is that we would use liquid nitrogen, or we would cut it in a sterile technique.
And be a doctor.
And maybe wear gloves and have a sterile scalpel. But that's not a big job to be done.
Will a GP do it, or do you have to
prefer? Yeah, oh, no, unless it's an enormous skin tag. But if it's a small skin tag, absolutely. We'd have it frozen off in no time. But if you're doing it yourself and you freeze the skin around it by mistake and things like that, you could end up kind of sore in your inner thigh.
Which is not
No.
I am taking melatonin to help me sleep. Is it okay to take melatonin on a regular basis?
Now, lots of people take melatonin on a regular basis, and there's not really a consensus that it's dangerous or it's not. But
is it a hormone replacement? Is that what it is?
From a gland in your brain, and it boosts it. It's sold over the counter in America, and that seems to be where most people have it. But in Ireland, it's licensed and on prescription. But most people seem to get it on their holidays, and a lot of people take it, I would think, pretty safely. And I also think having poor, awful sleep is one of the worst things that can happen to you.
Well, and who was the author of the book, wasn't it? Why do we sleep? One of the things, when you look at the interrupted or poor sleep and its effect on long-term health, it's up there with things like smoking. And
I think it's like one of the worst things that people have is insomnia.
That thing about what's over-the-counter in America versus here is amazing.
I know.
You know the thing with paracetamol? When you go here, you can buy, one little pack? In America,
12.
Like 1,000 acetaminophen in a bucket.
I know. And the same with ibuprofen. And the huge, big jars of it.
One quick one before we finish up. I'm 61, female, 8 stone, no health issues except cholesterol of 7.4. Bad, 4.9, good, 2.2. Should I be on medication?
Absolutely, yes, you should be on medication.
Oh, good, okay.
So she's
what
a
did
slim,
all that mean?
She's a slim woman. So her numbers are 7.7?
7.4, bad, 4.9, good, 2.2.
So bad, 4.9, bad should be less than 3. So her good is good, but her total is so high that at 61, as an 8-stone woman, you can't say to her, stop eating cake, stop drinking 10 pints a day. She's obviously living a healthy lifestyle. Now, she's a person who at 7.4 might have been picked up a long time ago. 7.4 is way too high. And she can take Benecol every day or any of those little drinks that you have. She can eat more fruit and veg. But if it's in her genetics, none of that is going to. She might as well have a piece of cake and have a tablet.
On that note, Dr. Eleanor Galvin, thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.